G'day, how's it going? Josh Armour here. Before we get into the show proper, just want to let you guys know about an awesome deal our great sponsors Wrestle Merch Printing have going through till the middle of October. Now, if you're a pro wrestling promoter, wrestler, or even a podcaster down under, Wrestle Merch Printing are the people that you want to see. They've done merch for people like Elliot Sexton, TMDK, Adam Brooks, promotions such as PWA, Melbourne City Wrestling and Hunter Valley Wrestling. The deal they've got going at the moment, 24 one-colour print tees for $300. So if you want to make sure that you're getting quality merch to your fans that they can sport and they can represent your brand, get onto Wrestle Merch Printing on Facebook, shoot them a message and get a quote on the work you need done, or hit them up about that awesome deal. 24 tees, $300. Postage not included. And a big thank you to Wrestle Merch Printing for supporting not only this podcast, but also Wrestling Down Under. Let's go.
This is FNX.
This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the voice of explosive pro wrestling, me, Dee Olsen.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is 5 times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, it's Kelly in English.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Yes, Thunderstag with the awesome theme music. Big shout out to those guys over there in Victoria. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us again. My name is Josh Armour. This is Wrestle Radio Australia, brought to you by FNX.network and, of course, our great sponsors, Wrestle Merch Printing and Thomas Green Design and Illustration. I'll let you know about what Thomas is up to later on in the show. But first up, please do hit us up on Twitter if you enjoy what you hear. At Wrestle Radio AU, you can find me at Josh JD Armour. And be sure to tell a friend about the show as well. Subscribe, rate and review on iTunes. That's what we want you doing out there. Okay, so for today's interview segment, I guess, I'm going to be heading down to the RCW Academy to chat with a couple of youngsters who are not only really nice young dudes, but, you know, they've gone about pursuing their dream of being pro wrestlers and doing a great job at it so far. Talking about James Cray and Katie Trey, a poet, and I didn't know it, hey. But, yeah, a couple of great dudes. James has been a big supporter of Wrestle Radio Australia, as well as KD, so really cool to have them on the show and get a different perspective, you know, of what it's like as somebody young starting out in wrestling. So that's what it's all about today, and going to be very, very cool. So if you know somebody who, yeah, is new to wrestling, starting out training and things like that, or even if they want to get into it, this is a great episode to share with them. I reckon, so this will be a very good time. But first up, just want to give a shout out to friend of the show, Kellyanne English, who is she's got a busy week in Platinum Wrestling TCW down there in Tasmania, and then heading over to the US to represent Australia along with, I believe, Evie, or New Zealand technically with Evie, but you know what it's like, we adopt the best from New Zealand, so Evie, Shazza McKenzie, Madison Eagles, a heap of great Australian talent heading over to Shine and Shimmer over there in the USA. So big shout out to you, Kel, and yeah, do us proud. Good luck with the first trip over there, I guess, the first big trip, you know, and I know you've been overseas and whatnot, but Yeah, the Shine Shimmer, that's really where the focal point of women's wrestling is in the world, you know, and those shows do get a lot of publicity in the wrestling press, so good luck to you, Kel, and hopefully we'll speak to you when you get back. We'll hear all about the trip. And also a big announcement that I actually did make on Facebook the other day on the WRA page, but first time making it here, Muhammad Ali Vaez, who you might know from Outback Championship Wrestling. He's worked down, he's been down here in RCW for a lot of the RCW fans listening in, and also doing a lot of work with Global Force Wrestling, the new company spearheaded by Jeff Jarrett. He's going to be starting his own show here on the feed, and what's he going to be talking about? Well, it's pretty much whatever the heck he wants, and you know, some of the people that he knows in wrestling will end up being guests. It's going to be a real mixed bag, I think, of you know, Ali's experiences and all that sort of jazz. I can't wait to get it out there to you guys. We are working on the audio. We're just working on getting the mic right, making sure everything's cool. And then we'll be dropping episode 1. So it'd actually be out before the Axes podcast. Because I know that, yeah, Josh wants to sort of get back home, back to Melbourne, and then, you know, sort of get things right before we put out episode 1, which is good. I like that. Organization is key. So, yeah, Ali Vaez joining the Axe here at WRA. Very happy about that. Alrighty, let me hit some music here and we'll get onto it. Alrighty, I'm down here at the RCW Academy now through the magic of podcasting, and something a little different, I guess, here. You know, we've had, if you're a familiar listener of the show, we've had a lot of people on in the past that have had, you know, a decade's experience, 5 years' experience in wrestling, folks that have travelled overseas, they've been in WWE, folks like Jeff Jarrett, run the gamut of different guests, but I wanted to change it up here and talk to a couple of folks who are newer to the world of wrestling as far as actually training, being on shows, doing it, and yeah, it's really cool to be here with, first of all, a two-time now guest on the show, KD Trey.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, dude. And also, first time on the show, long-time listener. Long-time listener, first-time caller, I guess. Yeah. James Cray.
Pleasure to be here, Josh.
Thanks for joining us here to have a chat. And if you can hear a few bumps in the background, folks, that is because we are at the RCW Academy and training is just wrapping up. So when we had you on, Katie, that was around the time of the 10-year anniversary show for Riot City, and that was just a remarkable experience. The whole thing leading up to it, the show itself, the response from it, and you've just sort of been going on from there. You've been doing the tag thing with Toro, but mostly since then, doing a lot of singles wrestling.
Well, I guess actually I've been doing a lot of singles wrestling, but I reckon I've had more tag matches than singles, because the only two people I've wrestled that have had the opportunity to wrestle are Marvel, who, by the way, I just love getting in a room. Marvel, I will wrestle Marvel anytime, any place. He's just awesome. And this past show, there's been Chris Basso, which, by the way, I won in every way which possible.
And they're two of the guys in Nasty Dub that even the veterans, when they see the lineup and they go, oh shit, I'm wrestling Kree or I'm wrestling Marvel. Whoa, hang on. Kayfabe. Like, there's that thing, like you said, of, oh wow, like this is going to be a walk in the park and I'm going to learn so much.
I mean, it's good to get in the ring with someone that doesn't just take everything away from the new guys. Is so, he will get in the ring and he will literally just, like, it'll be a breeze with him. Like, you'll know exactly what to do. You'll know exactly when to fight back. You'll know exactly when to, you know, do your spots. He's great. And they'll talk you through the whole thing. And it's just great.
And they've Chris Basso and Marvel, they've really had a lot to do with, especially on these Men Street Mayhem shows at the Academy, of bringing up the rookies and, like you said, you know, being so selfless, in that they will, like, they might go over in the end, because it's natural that a 10-15 year vet will beat somebody who's been in the game for a year or so, but until that time, they're just going to give you all they can to make sure that the crowd remembers you for having a great match with Marvel or with Chris. Like,
yeah, but like I said, when I wrestled Chris Basso, you know, you get in the ring with him, and even if you're getting beaten up, you're still winning, because you're in the ring with guys with so much experience. Like, that match with Chris Basso would have to be one of my favorite matches that I've had so far. In all respect to Marvel, we've had some really good matches, like the tag match and the singles match that we had at Mean Street Mayhem, but that match with Chris Basso just felt so right, and it just felt so... it felt really good to me. Like, I went out backstage and I was, like, trying to gather myself. I'm like, you know, I didn't lose that match. I won it. You know, to me, I won that match. If that makes sense. It might sound a bit stupid, but...
It totally makes sense, especially at the stage that, you know, you guys are at, wanting to just soak up as much as you can, so that when, especially, you know, if you're doing the Mean Street Mayhem shows in front of 60-70 people, you get to the main shows and then boom, you know, in front of 200-400 people, you're comfortable in the ring, you know what I mean? And James, you've also
just with the Mean Street shows, it's actually, I reckon they're a lot more humbler, because you get, like, the real Riot City fans, and also you learn a little bit more, because there's only really one side of the crowd, which is the main entrance, so you learn ring positioning really well. Like, you know, the crowd's going to respond better if you're working to that side, not just, like, over to the wall or anything. You're not going to go yelling at a wall. You're going to look at the fans. You're going to make sure the fans really take something home, and that's what I like about it.
And that gives you the, especially James, you'd know all about that, the confidence that the residents, especially those diehards that come to all the gym shows, you know, that it really makes somebody, as a youngster like yourself, I remember when you came out there for the first time, you must have felt so welcomed by not just folks that knew you from, oh, that's James from around the place, I've seen him, but as a part of the roster, as somebody on the show that's there to entertain them, they automatically bring that respect for you, and then that gives you that confidence. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I've felt the confidence as I walked through the curtain. Backstage, so nervous wreck, but once I walked out there, I felt welcomed, as like I've just been away at a trip and I've just been welcomed back home. It's a great atmosphere just down at the Mean Street shows, and eventually when I get my first singles match on a main show, I'm gonna feel on a high as such.
How was the Rumble for you guys? Because, like, it was your first, I guess, experience on that bigger stage in front of the bigger crowd with the big entrance, all the ballyhoo that goes with you know, a larger event. What did that feel like in comparison to here for you?
Just the atmosphere just felt bigger. A better way to describe it, and being English, it always ends up to football as such. And I'll put in Aussie rules terms. It's like being at Amy Stadium, and it's a lot more quiet, and it's not so much a big as atmosphere. Whereas if you go to Adelaide Oval, it feels like, whilst there might be like 30,000 in that stadium, it feels like there's 100,000 there. So comparing being at a Mean Street Mayhem show, sure, it's a great atmosphere, but when you compare that to the main show, it's like unreal. At least that's the way I'm looking at it. So
I know what you sort of mean as well, when, like, I know for myself, the first show that I announced was, I think, one of the first shows that you went to, KD, and that was the strength tournament in 2010.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a good show.
That was fun. I was on the third night announcing with Luke Santa Maria, who is, no, that's not him, but he's here somewhere. He's hitting the weights. Even that show, where there was maybe 100 and or 200 odd people, then I remember there was one, it would have been, you know, a few months later, and the place was packed and it was hot and sweaty, and it was that real feeling in the building of, like, whoa, this feels big. And you do, when you get that that adrenaline rush, it's, I don't know, I don't care who you are, it ups your game. Like when you have a heap of people out there making noise and they're bringing the energy, it's just so much easier to either dip into your character or to give it back to them. Like, and that's what I like. I find the bigger the crowd, the easier it is for me. Like, I don't know about you guys, but
in saying that, with the crowd noise at the bigger shows, it still feels like a Mean Street Mayhem show, because the Mean Street Mayhem shows, there's no commentary. Whereas on the main show, there's commentary, there's you, there's Sean, there's Wolf Dog. When I was in the Rumble, all I could hear is crowd noise. You guys, you might as well have been on Mars. Like, I cannot hear you. To the point where a fan after the show, and I'm disliking for this, right? I didn't hear you introduce me. I then later got told, Bethnal, England.
I'm sure I said Bethnal Green.
No. Josh, apparently you said Bethnal, England as I came out.
Wait a minute, you're from England? I had no idea.
Nah.
Well, hang on. Let's go there for a minute. Were you born in the UK?
Yes.
So when did you move over to Australia?
November in 2005.
Okay.
So...
Were you watching wrestling back then? Because you would have been like, I guess, what, about 7 or 8 when you moved over?
Yeah, around 7 or 8. Wrestling over there, British wrestling obviously was not on the TV, so all we got was the American stuff. But even before I could walk, I would sit there with my parents and I'd watch WWE with the names like Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, during the Attitude Era, obviously. It just drew me in at such a young age, even to the point when I finally had my little brother, while the wrestling was on, we'd try and wrestle each other on the carpet in front of the parents. And
yeah. Don't try that at home, kiddies!
Yeah, no, don't try that at home. That just ends badly for someone.
Hey, you guys were lucky in the UK because, as far as I'm aware, back then you had the pay-per-view events free on Sky Sports. You didn't actually have to pay for the pay-per-views, if I'm right.
Was that deal done later with Sky?
I think that deal was done later. I mean, I still remember asking parents to pay for pay-per-views, right. And we'd only get the exceptional one. I think the main one that we had was the Royal Rumble, because the big attraction, the Rumble match, you wanted to see every year who would turn up and try and go for the title shot at WrestleMania.
And plus, the Royal Rumble, it's one of those things that even a non-wrestling fan, if you mention the Royal Rumble, they'd be like, is that where they throw them over the top in the wrestling? And they'd be like, it's one of those things that just people know the Royal Rumble, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is the surprise entrance. Like, Bubba Ray Dudley at last Royal Rumble. Like, that guy got the biggest reaction, yet he hadn't been there for God knows how long.
10 years.
And he walked into that building and it was like he never left. Just the reaction he got. And especially in a crowd such as Philly where he started.
And the tag teams now, they're going to benefit. Even, I mean, any of the guys backstage now in the E, they're going to really benefit from having those guys around, you know, because they've been to Japan and they've wrestled everywhere. So, like, they've really got this, just all this experience that even someone like a William Regal, in a different sort of capacity, but in the way that they've got that worldly knowledge, you know what I mean? That's going to be handy for everyone, I think. So let's talk more about training, about basically being a rookie in wrestling. So KD, when was your tryout?
It was in October. It was October 26th. Yeah, it was October 26th, because
of 2014.
To 2013.
Okay, yeah.
Because we had the November 2nd show with Adam Pearce, and that was the first show I worked on.
That's right. You were mentioning that last time about Adam. Yeah.
Yeah, and coming from a guy who's not an athlete, never played. Well, I did play sports, but I never really kept up with it. You know, I was always like, "Oh, this isn't for me. I'm gonna, you know, draw, you know, or I'm gonna watch wrestling at home," because that's what I did. I watched wrestling and I drew stuff, and then I was like, you know, it's either gonna be now or never. I want to do it, so I did it, and yeah, it was hard, but obviously you know, I stayed with it because I'm now on shows, which is all I ever wanted to be. And, you know, I'm happy with doing training so far. Like, I love it. I love training, you know, and I've changed so much over time. Like, I went from being, like, just this chubby, out of shape, you know, chunk.
You were ultra shy when I first met you. That's one thing I remember. Really shy.
Yeah, I had a... I was very antisocial. I'm still very antisocial, but with, like, wrestling, like, with, like... Because now I can, like, sort of relate to the guys that come to the show, like, come to training and, like, you know, hang around the shows. You got something to talk about. They always want to talk about wrestling, and sometimes you have other interests with them. So, yeah,
You did mention on the when we first chatted on the Decade of Riot City special, which you can download from this very feed, a heap of RCW talent on that show as well. You were talking about how you were kind of, I guess, in a bit of a rut. Personally, you were trying to, I guess, like find yourself in a way. Have you found... I know that it has helped being around here, doing something you're passionate about, good people around, all that jazz, but... Have you found that through doing this, it has helped you sort of find yourself as far as that, like an inner sort of peace, or, you know, just that thing of, all right, well, I know what I want to do with myself now, and life's good, like that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still searching for, like, my place, but in all honesty, like, with wrestling, it's helped me so much. You know, I struggle with a lot of different, you know, problems with myself, but through wrestling I've really started liking myself. Like, I'm more comfortable looking at myself in the mirror, which I never used to be. I hated myself so much, but now I'm just like, you know, I'm actually not that bad. You know, that, like, I watched myself, like, I watched my match with Chris Basser, I'm like, wow, I don't look that bad. I don't look great, but I don't look terrible. And all I ever got from, you know, people that, you know, weren't my family, they were coming up to me and going, wow, you looked really good out there. And I was like, you know what, thank you. You know, that means a lot to me. I'm still struggling with, like, a lot of other stuff, but, you know, I'm getting there slowly. Like, I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to finding myself somewhere.
As I mentioned with Jesse Daniels last week, Wrestle Radio Australia, come sit on the couch and just, you know, open your guts up, spill your mind. That's what...
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're here to do.
Yeah, I'm comfortable talking about myself. I mean, most of myself. So, yeah. You know, James has seen most of myself out the back.
Hey, that's a whole other podcast, folks. And James, when you tried out, that would have been... Was that early last year, like 2014 or...?
Yeah, it was early 2014. It was just before the show when Adam Brooks won the belt after cashing... Your mate, after cashing Key to the City. So, yeah. But it's funny because it was like bringing along the parents as well, because my dad knew I wanted to do this. Mum didn't. So, of course, first show, hey, these are the people that we're training with. The main event's a no DQ match with thumbtacks.
You picked the wrong show, dude, to bring the vote.
Thumbtacks. There was a broken keyboard with keys flying everywhere.
Oh, that was the hardcore Shooter.
Yep. Tables.
That's right. Shooter jumped off of the trussing and bloody dropped a huge elbow on Matty. And and unfortunately, the table, folks, was... Picture this. So you've got the stage at the Estonian Hall, this one was. You've got the stage there, and then on one side of the stage we had the commentary table set up, and of course the fight gets up there. Oh, geez, commentators, we're out of there, see you later. And Shooter gets up on the trussing, Grimm's laid on the table, just falls off and drops this elbow, and he lands right on Matty, but the table didn't break.
The legs buckled.
The legs kind of, yeah, buckled, and then I don't know if the table actually slid off of the stage. It did, yeah. Yeah.
The speaker nearly fell over as well, so...
That was scary because you're like... You expect the table to break, and then when the table didn't break, you're thinking like, okay, well, maybe he's going to go up. But before you could even think, oh, maybe he'll go up and try and do it again, the table, yeah, started sliding down. It was kind of like, holy...
I reckon that made for, like, a really good moment, though. I reckon, it, like, if the table broke, it's like, oh, another table's broken. You know, that's something that... we've seen a million times, but for the fact that he went off the top landing on Grimm and the table didn't break, but it fell off the stage. That's just so much cooler. That's my opinion. I thought that was really awesome.
It was something different.
Yeah, it definitely was different. And I could imagine, like, everyone in the production was sitting there going, oh, crap, all of our equipment's about to break with the table and Grimm falling on it.
That's right. Buddy Murphy's not around anymore to throw microphones down onto the canvas. Hey, Matt, hope you're doing well, buddy. And your tryout, actually, do remember it, because I was sometimes, you know, for the tryouts, I'll pop down and have a look and just, you know, just curiosity's sake and... And it was yourself and a few others in the class that are still around to this day, I think.
No.
It's actually
the last one in that class. Okay, well, technically yes and technically no. From the actual tryout day, I'm the last one standing as such. But from that...
The sole survivor.
But from that period, there's two of us left. But the actual tryout day, last one here.
And it came to the time in the tryout where it was like promo time. It was like, show us what you do. Like, well, show us what you can say. Spit out a 20, 30 second promo. And I'm standing there holding the camera. And then all of a sudden, because I didn't know that you were English. I didn't know, sort of, you know, I'd like just met you pretty much. I didn't, you know, I didn't even think I'd heard your voice. And then all of a sudden, you come out with this accent and talking about sipping a cup of... You could probably remember the promo word for word.
There's footage of it still. There,
it's probably sitting in the archives. I just remember the final line and I forgot who I was cutting it on, but I think...
It was probably Grimm.
Probably.
Because this is the easiest subject. If you have to cut a promo, it's like, he's the biggest, he's the baddest. Yeah, big... Man,
yeah.
I think I turned around and said to whoever it was probably Grimm. I turned around and said, I'm going to kick your head off. And when you finally wake up and stare at the lights, I'm going to be out back drinking some tea and eating some crumpets. I believe that was the end line and everyone just lost it.
Log it. That's good. Use it.
That's right.
Why not?
Oldie but a goodie. You can bring that back.
Yeah. And it was sort of like, well, I'm English. It's probably the only thing that I've got that difference... me from the rest of the people, so why not use it? Yeah. And it's sort of something that I'm trying to do now, where it's trying to acknowledge that I'm English to the point where I've got the English flag on my gear. It doesn't get more English than having the St. George Cross on your tights.
And having Bush as your entrance theme. Bush or Pulp? Which is the best? It's Bush, isn't it? Song 2?
Blur, as
Katie puts it, blah.
Blah.
Blah. And the fans love that as well, that your entrance, because you've picked a great song as well to come out to that. It's got that wee-hoo that everybody in the crowd knows.
Mom absolutely loves it. She's like, oh, why can't you have a song that goes like that? And like, every time I think of that song though, I've told you this a million times, all I can think of is Homer and everyone running through the hallways in that Simpson episode. It just makes me laugh. But I love it. Like, it's just I was like, yes.
To be fair though, that wasn't the initial song that I was going with. That was sort of a last minute throw together sort of job, because the initial song that I was going to go for was Skyfall. And presented it to the bookers and they sort of had a listen, and then it was like, okay, at what point do you come out? And it's like, pretty much as the guitarist starts properly playing, and they went, nah, that's too long.
Yeah, because there's that sweet spot as far as the length of an intro for an entrance song, and you can't have it too long, but you got to have it just long enough to build a little suspense. If there's a beat, maybe get a clap going with the fans. As you know, with your song, it's really easy for them to clap along before you even come out the curtain. So yeah, there's finding that sweet spot, and it's tough. But there's nothing worse than, and I'm gonna shout her out here. Sorry, but Kellyanne, your entrance song is the intro is way too long, girl. You've got to get somebody to edit that. So I'll do it for you. I don't care.
See, that was the suggestion I got. Turned around and said, it's like, could we edit this? And I just looked at them like, no, because that just ruins the song. It just ruins it completely. And it's probably finding that song where it's the entrance isn't too long, but if the entrance is... Sorry, entrance. Intro. If the intro is too long, having the ability to be able to cut it down, and just with some songs, like Skyfall, you can't really do that. So maybe that's a similar thing for Kellyanne. I don't know. But Yeah.
Just on that with Kellyanne, this is to her. Sign of the Twine, mate. Sign of the Twine. She'll know what it means. That's for her.
Kellyanne Fiend Club represent, yo.
Well, he's...
That's our thing. That's Sign of the Twine's our thing.
Sign of the Twines. It's a Prince song. Oh, Sign of the Times, yes. Any excuse for me to get my sing on here, I'll do it. And one of the, like, the main reasons, besides just talking about being a rookie and new to wrestling, but also one of the main reasons I wanted to do this show is so that if there are people listening that are in the same spot, the same position, you know, where they're maybe new to things and they're in this new environment with all these big jacked up dudes and they're like, geez, I'm, you know, can I get to that stage or can I, and that's what, you know, to try and I guess give people something to relate to, you know, and maybe feel a bit more comfortable in that, oh, there are other people, there are the guys and girls that go through, you know, what I may be going through at this time. So with I guess working out, like the gym side of things, when you guys started, was that one of the because I know when I, you know, was doing a bit of the training in that for about a year, and that was my first thing, was like, right, before I try this, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to get in the gym, I'm going to try and get myself to a level that I haven't been at before but that I think I need to be to do this physically. I'll start with you, Katie. How have you found that whole side of things, like the dietary, the, you know, the finding the right exercises to do and all that sort of stuff?
Well, at first it was a struggle.
Like, daunting kind of
thing. Yeah, first it was really hard because I'd come from bloody eating, you know, your Hungry Jacks as your McDonald's and all that junk food.
And then he sits here with an interviewer who is holding a Hungry Jack's Coke, and I don't know why I'm holding that up to the microphone. Like, that makes it easier for you at home to actually see it.
It's,
but
it's a small, it's okay, so don't feel too guilty. Is it diet? It's probably diet.
You can at least hear it. No, it's not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Josh. Hey, come on, you know aspartame's bad for you. It's just as bad as sugar. Come on.
Yeah, well, I didn't know seven of those words you just said, but okay. But no,
I feel intelligence, yo. Wow.
As for diet, when I first started, I was very, you know, I was hopeless with dieting. But now, you know, I'm much better with my diet. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I still eat, you know, the average chocolate bar because I just love chocolate and I love donuts. Like
as far as chocolate, what bar is your favorite?
I don't,
Luke Santa Maria, keep your mind out of the gutter over there. Jeez.
I guess my favorite chocolate would have to be, I like those new Cadbury creations, but I love dark chocolate. I love, like, there's this one that my mum gets and it's like, it's a block, but it's really thin, so I can eat a whole block and not feel bad. And also, dark chocolate's good energy, apparently.
Oh, a lint, is it?
No, it's not lint. It's something else, but it's got, like, raspberry in it. Right. And it's, like, it's really good. I've been eating a lot of that lately. Like, that's what I substitute. Took away the Cadbury creations, so I eat that. But, yeah, I quit eating all that stuff, and I started telling my mum, because she cooks most of my meals, because I'm either at training or I'm studying, and I don't always cook. Well, I do cook. It's usually healthy. It's
because you got to remind everybody that you guys are quite young. How old are you, Katie?
21.
21 and 18?
19.
19. Sorry. So I thought you were still in high school. That's why I'm like, it's good.
No, I'm not in high school. I'm currently studying at TAFE. But yeah, high school, another thing because, yeah, difference between English schools and Australian schools, just, yeah, screwed with my head.
The grades and everything, like the years, yeah, and what year you are when you're...
Yeah, that, and when I first transitioned over here, it was sort of like I finished year five. Well, I just started year five, sorry, over in England, and I come over here, and I think they put me in year four. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Why have you put me in year four? But now I'm here and finished high school and further studying, so keeps me occupied.
Stay in school, kiddies. Don't make the mistake that young Armour here did. So back to you, Katie. We went off on a tangent there for a second.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, well, I hated school as well, just FYI. That place sucked. But, you know, you finished year 12, didn't you?
Yeah, finished it last year.
I went halfway through year 12 and was like, nah, I'm getting a job. And I did, and now I regret it. But now I got wrestling, so I'm all cool.
Yay. Now you got a job to pay for the wrestling. So you see, it's all worked out.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. You know, it also pays for my wrestling gear, which, by the way, First Lady Wrestling Gear, is that what it's called?
Savannah Summers behind that. Yeah.
Summers rest, like, go through her. If you're an up and coming wrestler, go, or even a professional wrestler, go through her. Her gear is amazing. I wear her gear. James Cray wears her gear.
Yep. Luke Santa Maria wears her gear.
So yeah, go through her.
Say hi, Luke Santa Maria, to the WRA public.
Life partner.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you're all enjoying the podcast with Katie Trey and James Cray here. Should be a good one. Can't wait for it to come out.
There we go. There's a promo mid show. We're gonna have to pop that out there on the YouTubes or something. So, diet and, you know, exercise and all that sort of thing. How did you find that first up when you first were like, all right, I've made the tryout, I'm gonna start being a wrestler now? Were you preparing before that, or is it sort of like, okay, shit, I'm doing this now. Oh, I've got to step it up, you know, physically. Like,
as an expectation, I knew it was something that I've need to do. Unfortunately, over my time, I've sort of put it off a bit, which, thinking about it right now, was really stupid, because if you've been to Mean Street Mayhem shows, I'm the skinniest guy in the ring. And yeah, so recently I've been hitting the weights, hitting the gym, doing as much as I possibly can. Still a bit on and off with that dieting, similar to Katie. Mum cooks a lot of the meals, so unfortunately it's whatever I'm served, I'm given, and I just have to deal with it.
Well, what's her specialty? Have you got that sort of thing set where it's like, okay, Mum, I'm going to be home from training in about an hour. I need a high dose of protein. Is it that sort of thing, or is it, as you said, like, okay, bangers and mash, all good?
It's usually whatever before training, because it's like we have early, because siblings, they're all running off everywhere. But it's a weekly cycle, so one day it'll be like pies and mash, the next day it'll be burgers, the next day it'll be fish and chips, and we just keep going through that cycle. And off the top of my head, I honestly cannot remember what I just had before training, which is great.
There you go. Well, at least we're not. Well, that's right. Past meal is in the past. We're now worried about the post workout feed. So I guess that's one thing that I was very very mindful of when I was, because I mean, I realized, like, okay, I'm gonna want to try out. It was about 6 months out, so I was like, all right, get in the gym, start doing, you know, weights and cardio, and just trying to get fit. And one of the things that I learned was, like, you gotta, like, make the most of those windows after you've been lifting or whatever it is, and getting that protein into you and those sort of things. And I think that's where a lot of younger people who start out on just going, oh, I'm just gonna lift, I'm gonna do all these weights, but then, like, you know, not having the 20 to 40 grams of protein after your workout, and then, you know, having your protein shake before bed and all that sort of stuff. Like, that was just Mr. Santa Maria giving us a questionable gesture on the way out of the door there, the CS bus. But, like, that's one of those things where I was always mindful of getting that protein in and not wasting a workout. Are you guys sort of really on that sort of train of, like, oh shit, if I don't have my protein shake tonight, or I'm going to regret it, or I'm going to lift twice as hard tomorrow and then get that intake? Like,
well, I mean, when I come down here, like, I'm usually like one of the first cup. I'm usually like one of the first down here, and I'm like, I've got to get, like, it's just 5:10. I've got to get a quick pump in. So I usually work out for about an hour, sometimes over. As for, like, protein shakes, I've got one right now. It's a skinny protein, but I don't drink it a lot. I like to put a little bit of Milo with it just to give it a bit of more flavor. But it's excuse me. I don't drink it all the time. I might have it, like, maybe 2 times a week. I might have it in between, like, after meals. Apparently, it's good to have after meals. I don't usually do that, but I usually have it, like, after. Like, once I get home from work, I'll have it. Maybe once after training, maybe on a Friday, I'll have it. But, you know, I do try to keep up with a good diet. So I mean, I'm guilty of guilty pleasures, but like chocolates and that's what I meant. And so yeah, like, but I always like try to get down here early and work out, and then I stretch up just so that way I'm ready for training when it comes time. I usually have like a 30-minute break after my workout, and then training's on. So just like that's usually a time to sort of stretch up, then get warm for training. So that's me.
Would you recommend? Because as you said, you know, you regret not getting into more of a sort of physical shape that you wanted to be in before you did the tryout. Do you think that is more important, not as far as just, you know, hey, getting big and having muscle, but as far as just feeling, because you've got to be strong in there. That's the thing, like, you've got to be, as much as, you know, you there's an assist on the body slam and the suplex, you push off and all that, you still got to be bloody strong to do these sort of moves and that. So I've completely lost my train of thought, but
with that, as you said, you did 6 months before you tried out, right? Like, you did 6 months at the gym?
Well, I had no choice because I found out I had gallstones. So that meant that I had to cut out fat, dairy, everything like that out of my diet so I didn't get these pains in my gallbladder. Then I had the gallbladder out and I'm like, right, I'm healthy. I can be fit now because I'm healthy and I've lost a lot of weight from just eating healthy. So I was like, all right, now if I'm going to do this, I've got to be serious about it. And I had that thing where, like, you're on the treadmill or you're on the cross trainer or you're on the bench and you're picturing your entrance, you know, like that, sort of thing, like that, because you need that inspiration really to get you through those hard times when you go like, oh, geez, this is just a lot of bloody work, and you need that vision there.
Well, I did the same thing. Like, I was 6 months out through training because I had messaged Riot City Wrestling and was like, oh, can I try? And they're like, oh, you just missed the one that's just been, you got 6 months to the next one. I was like, all right, 6 months, get ready, train. So that's what I did. I joined a gym, and I, for just 6 months, I just, you know, 3 times a week I went to the gym. So like, when I, like, a wrestling, to me, a wrestler's body doesn't have to be a six pack. I mean, six packs are cool, but you got to be big, you know, because you're lifting people up, you know, you're throwing them down. You got to look big. That's why I love guys like Chris Hero. You know, that guy's massive, but he can still, you know, go. Like, his cardio is on point, and his, you know, like, just the way he can lift people. Like, he's world famous. He's world known, and the guy's just great. And like all those old British guys, like Regal, Dave Taylor. Mick, what's his name? He had the black hair. He slicked it back in World of Sport. Mick McManus, and he was one of my his heel work was just on point. His body, his look. They used to say he looked like a vampire. That's what I loved about his hair. Yeah.
Bringing up like British wrestlers and obviously being big, guys currently on the scene right now like Dave Mastiff and Damo O'Connor.
They look like men who are wrestlers and can fight if they need to, not Calvin Klein models who just happen to be very athletic and can do the moves. I hear you. Yes.
Like don't get me wrong. If I saw them in a dark alley, I'd be running the other way.
But that's the point. That's exactly what we're getting at.
Ty Dillinger. A great wrestler, but he looks like a Calvin Klein model.
Yeah.
But you see a guy like Dave Mastiff. I absolutely love Dave Mastiff. I think he's one of the best workers, wrestlers, everything. And I know this is going to sound, but one of my favorite workers is Necro Butcher. I just think he is just so. He as a worker though, like not.
Here's where we're going to have some contention because I'm.
You're not a fan, but they ate different flavors of ice cream, as they say.
I'm exactly right, but yeah, any. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of glass and things that.
But if you watch his stuff, like, I mean, I'm not going to try and sell it to you, but like if you watch his stuff now, because he's older, he's not going through glass and barbed wire now.
He's in a bad way, I think. Oh, it was a while ago.
Oh, I think actually now he's straightened out a bit, but I don't know. I haven't kept up on it. I just watched. He had a match with Brian Danielson years ago in PWG, and I was like, this match is actually really good. Like, because Danielson did the chain wrestling, and he was just being his character and like gouging stuff, and like Brian Danielson, and he pulled out a bloody shopping bag, like a plastic one. And I was like not Danielson. Necro didn't show you. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, I'm like, this is like one of the best matches I've ever seen. And like, even like to this day, like, this guy like made a reputation of like basically destroying his body, but he's still so good. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, something about Necro Butcher, I just think he's just cool, like, because he just works. He doesn't do moves now. He just works, and that's what I like about it.
I was about to say, on the subject of, obviously, Josh, you not like a Necro Butcher, you like a Necro Butcher. I'm going to regret saying this because I know you dislike this man, but Kevin Owens is...
No!
Hang on, hold...
No, don't...
Kevin Owens has big...
You can put over fucking Necro Butcher, we can put over Kevin fucking Owens, all right?
I can praise the guy to the cows come home. But again, flavors of ice cream. I like Kevin Owens. He doesn't.
I hate him.
He likes Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
You don't. There's probably some wrestler somewhere that I probably don't know about until you tell me his name that you like, and I won't like him. But at the end of the day, that's just a matter of opinions. I could say my opinion and say Kevin Owens is the best wrestler, period, greatest of all time. But that's my opinion, and my opinion is worth as much as you want to pay for it.
Oh, hey, John Cena at the moment is one of the absolute top wrestlers, workers out there today. And this is from somebody who the last couple of years was not a very big John Cena fan. But, you know, somebody who just sits there and watches one of the highlights of a Raw or a big show these days for me. Is the John Cena match. I would not have said that a couple of years ago, but there's just something about him where you go, nah, I respect this guy and I understand what he's doing in there now. I get it, you know.
Insane. Actually, now that you say that, you like John Cena. I honestly don't like him based on the character, because his character, for God knows how long, he's been the same thing, and he's just drawn out to the point where it's just like, I honestly could not care less who you face next week. I hope you get the living crap kicked out of you.
You're at the same point as WCW fans in late 1995 where they're like, we're done with the Hulkster. We are done. We don't want it anymore.
Yeah, and... But, I mean, on the plus side, his open challenge stuff, I mean, guys like, say, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, like, they come out on Raw, they get big pops. And even though he wins the matches... They still go over in a sense that they are now known to the greater public and know what they could do. That's just a matter of opinions, and they're worth as much as people want to pay for them. That's that.
Just like a-holes, eh? We've all got them. And by the way, I can't believe that Dean Brady actually let out an arsehole on the show the other night. I was watching a little bit of it earlier on one Brad Smythe. He's like, oh, you rah-rah asshole. I'm like, whoa, that's very, very vulgar language for Mr. Brady.
Well, like you said, everyone's got one, and maybe, I don't know, like, I didn't hear it. I was recovering from my match with Chris Basso, but excuse me. I think when it comes to, like, as long as he didn't use the big three, I think it's, what was it, four? Big three swear words. One F, yeah, three. So I think it's all right. I mean, it's a PG show, and I watched a PG movie the other day, Slappy and the Stinkers, and they use one of those words. I don't know which one it was. I was like, wow, that's a
in a PG.
Yeah, it was PG. It was an old one. I mean, it's not old, but it's like at least 1993, maybe four. I love that movie.
I was watching Rookie of the Year the other day from, it was like a baseball movie from the early 90s. It's like, I don't know if it was a Disney movie or something like that, but it's like, you know, where like this young kid, he's a Chicago Cubs fan, he's going to the game and he gets something wrong with his arm.
Is that with David Spade? Is the coach?
No, not David Spade, Daniel Stern.
That's from Bushwhack.
And Celtic Pride and Home Alone, yes.
I like Bushwhack. That was a great movie. That's another one of my favourites. But yeah, I know the movie.
Yeah, I love that. And he has something wrong with his arm, and then it locks back, and then when he moves his arm forward and it unlocks, he has this incredible power behind his pitch. So he throws the ball, and from like the 10th row in the stands, it actually reaches the catcher at home plate, and then they're like, find me that kid. We need that kid. And then, of course, he becomes a big baseball star, gets the girl, yada, yada. You know how it all goes.
Yeah, the typical Disney movie.
That's it. And
it was a Disney movie, from memory.
Okay, Mr. Movie Expert.
I know nothing about movies. If anyone knows me personally, they'll be like, oh, have you seen this movie? And I'll be like, no.
I'm that guy that everyone goes, hey, you've seen it. Like, and it'd be the most fucking obscure film that there's no chance I would have seen it unless I... unless I, like, you know, I'm just the most mega film, unless I'm a film reviewer, I probably have not seen this flick. What? You haven't seen it? You're crazy. All right.
So I'll say, one that I get a lot, and I've had this come up recently, Monty Python.
I love that. You know what? I love Fawlty Towers. That's one of my favourite shows.
Fawlty Towers is the absolute... That show is so timeless.
I reckon I could watch every episode and I'd still laugh. It's just... One of my... When he beats the car with the branch, he's like, I'm going to give you a thrashing. And he comes and eats him with... And when he thought he killed the guy with a fish, but he ended up just dying because he was, I don't know, sick and looked like... in his jacket.
I won't ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, go Netflix that shit. Fawlty Towers. It is some great classic British humour.
The only reason my dad got Netflix just to watch Fawlty Towers.
See, I love the one where where they're waiting for. He's expecting the hotel inspector. There's a hotel inspector in the area, and they're like, the inspector's coming, and he's like, oh shit! And so he's serving like. Him and Manuel and whatnot, they're all serving like these two or three different people. I think there was two different dudes in the dining room, and you know, the whole time he's freaking out, like, oh, which one? Because they're both sort of acting. I've got those little sort of idiosyncrasies that you might think this guy's sussing the place out, he's critiquing everything, or he's being very fussy. And he's like, oh, which one is it? Which one is it? Which one is it? I won't spoil the finish, but yeah, that's my favourite. I know the car kicking one is a classic, but yeah, that one's my favourite. And one thing I want to talk about with you guys, because I know a lot of young people getting into wrestling, they want to be wrestlers. They may have done some backyard stuff. I know we're all shaking our heads here, going, "No, we don't approve," and I don't. But folks do it, and. There's that thing of, which I've been big on a lot lately, if you've been listening to the show, I've been drumming this message, you know, home to death, and that is the moves are just a conduit between one emotion and another, and really telling the story, and if you can go out there and use nothing but a headlock, a dropkick, and a cover, and get it over... go and do that. Now, how do you guys sort of... Because I know you guys... I mean, here we have some of the best trainers you can get in Australia, let alone Adelaide. You've got the Bassos, you've got Nick Armstrong, you've got Big Brody, who's really learnt so much in his 2 or 3 years that he's now one of those senior guys. Knows how to carry himself out there, all that sort of stuff. Really comes off like a pro. I'll sit with you, James. Where do you sit in that whole thing of what the moves mean and what sort of style would you like to carve out for yourself sort of moving forward? It was some of that, bringing some of that British style, maybe, or...
Yeah, I'm mostly style-wise aiming for the British style technical wrestling. But I'm also, because I do have a martial arts background, I'm also trying to incorporate that. So I'm just... It's difficult trying to get the psychology of the two and making them make sense. And when you first come in, if you've got a style in mind, try and find... people who do that sort of style. So old British stuff. Katie pointed me out with this. Johnny Saint.
Yeah.
Like, that guy back in those days, technically sound like, and he just had fun with it. Yeah. Like, everything he did, it would be with a laugh and a smile, and he'd be happy with it. As while I'm trying to obviously incorporate the martial arts part, I'm more looking at guys like Zack Sabre Jr., who, when people bill him as the best technical wrestler in the world today, hands down, no one is touching him as the best technical wrestler. And with his experience in Japan, he's also able to incorporate martial arts strikes in his psychology when working the arm.
I've noticed that with him is that it's a very modern version of the British style. Like, it's the British style from 20, 30 years ago brought into 2015, like, and really modernised. And I think that's cool about guys like him is that they're recognising that we've got to keep the roots of what we're doing, where we're from, get it to more people, and at the same time, yeah, like, be exciting.
And,
you know?
And the other thing with that is, like, you've also got the roots, but it's also, like, trying to introduce something new into that. And I go away and do this, and I watch a lot of video. I do look at Brazilian jiu-jitsu holds and think, okay, how can I incorporate this in a match? and how could I lead up to say work on a body part to eventually when I get that hold they're giving up instantly and they just don't want it anymore. So it's just trying to find that balance of bringing back the old stuff and injecting something new into it as well. And at the moment I'm trying to, with what I've got so far, it's good for the modern. I'm just trying to bring back some of that old and inject some of that new stuff into it as well.
Yeah, folks starting out, it tends to be the common thing of you start out, you're the baby face, you're in there with a heel who can control the match and they've got more experience, and you know, you can learn, you know, you can just sort of just let them lead you around the ring sort of thing, and then hopefully you pick up those little things along the way that can enable you to, okay, now I can focus on my style. How am I going to get over, like really get over, you know, down the road with the style thing and that? KD, have you got a particular style that you want to carve out, or do you want to be that kind of all-rounder like Chris Basso or somebody like that who, whatever type of match you need, they can give it to you? Is that sort of, what are you going for in the long run?
Moves to me, I like the old school stuff. So I like I love watching old Jake the Snake when he hit that DVT and he had his legs up. Like, I pick on that stuff. I don't pick on, I don't really like any modern moves. I don't like the whole, you know, there's like a fireman's carry and then he runs in and turns into a neck breaker. I hate that stuff. I like the...
There's some weird fisherman's buster where he like grabs the other leg and then he brings him over into like a suplex. Who would do that?
There's nothing wrong with modifying a fisherman's. I mean, I'm quite happy using mine.
I know that's the thing, but it's different. I'm just taking the piss. But I like that because it's one of those familiar moves, but it's different and it looks, you know what I mean? Like
there's nothing wrong with like classic moves, but eventually it's got to get to the point like nature. It's got to evolve.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. But with me in the style, I don't want to do the whole... excuse me. I don't want to do the moves that... Like, I love... switching moves up, but I don't like making them. Like, there's a guy that does the kill switch, but he like spins like five times and then hits it, and it's like, why? I mean, like, I get it, you're trying to make him dizzy, but like that's cool and all, but like I like the real heavy hitting moves. I love DDTs. That's my favorite move, because you're driving a guy's head into the ground. It's like a pile driver
on the DDTs. As somebody who grew up as a kid watching Jake the Snake, he gave you a DDT, you were out. You were out, that's it. I mean, he gave a DDT to Macho Man, and the only reason that he was able to continue on in any way was because Jake was so smug about it that he stood around and played to the crowd for like a minute. DDTs, in my mind, need to be a finish. We need to retrain the younger gen, and we need to retrain fans on... And it's mostly to...
You want to see that sort of old school style, like how they were trained back in the old days. I loved doing the DDT. I've done it in almost most of my matches, sorry. I also like, you know, the bulldogs. I love a bulldog because you're throwing them down into again, head first into the ground. I love like the abdominal stretch. I love this, like, you know, slamming something, like a big sweaty dude, like bloody Bruno Sammartino, like, you know, how he would just throw people around, and people like that Russian dude with like the missing teeth. I can't remember his name. He was in the Hall of Fame recently. Mad Dog. Something Mad Dog. He was really cool. He used to just beat people up. Chief J Strongbow. He's one of my favorites because he'd, you know, incorporate everything, just dancing, and then he'd, you know, just beat the piss out of it. I love that. That's the style that I'm going for, is basically I just want to do something that hasn't been done in a while, just do something different. And I don't want to like image myself on anyone, even though I may look sometimes. I won't give any names, but people have referred to me as someone recently, and I like it, but also I don't like it because I don't want people to see that. So I'm like, God, I got to change my look a little bit. And I just want to do stuff that's different. So that's basically what I'm going for. I want to be different by just doing simple stuff. Like moves to me aren't wrestling. Like, obviously moves are important in wrestling, but to me it's more the work. It's more working the crowd. It's like, you know, making sure your opponent's safe in the ring. Like, you're not going to like put in like like, you're not going to put it on a chin lock and it's going to be like this, like John Cena did to Big Show. Like, you don't want it to look like that. You want to make it look like you've got it. You want to be able to work it as well up to that point. That's what I want to do with wrestling. That's what I look forward to.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than seeing a heap of daylight in between the arm and the chin. There goes the thermos. Well, and that's what I like about you, KD, out there, is that you're just intense. Like, it's just intensity from the second you step out there. You know, the entrance music's got that real vibe of, like, you know, like, come on, you know. That's what's really cool at the moment, is that's, I think, what's really going to keep you in favour with the fans who are new to you, is that when you go out there, you're out there to put on a bloody show. You're not out there to snooze your way through it.
As I like to say, I'm not sitting around walking around on my elbows. I don't know. Was it sitting around on their elbows? Or something like that. I don't know. Someone said it and it made me laugh, and I was like, I'm not sitting around on my elbows. So yeah, that's what I like to think, that when I walk out of that curtain, I'm getting chased by bees. That's what I like to think of before I walk out through the curtain. That's it, that, like, I'm getting chased by bees. I don't know. That just makes me
the killer bees.
Killer bees.
Yeah. I said the
Africanized bees.
They said the Brian Blair. I tell you, yeah. What's been? I guess I will start with you, James. What's been a lesson that you've learnt from, you know, training, from being around the RCW Academy, things that you can apply in your day-to-day life that are completely unrelated to wrestling? And things that maybe, like, somebody, you know, that's feeling down about their training at the moment can maybe take a couple of things as positives and then go, yeah, well, things aren't so bad, and I might be able to apply this, you know.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably have to go with confidence. Like, KD, I was quite shy and have been by nature. From training here, though, I'm able to be a bit more sociable and be like, oh, hi, I'm James, yada, 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 and meet with more people and be a bit more relaxed around them, instead of being this small, skinny little kid in the corner who doesn't want to socialize with anyone. So that would probably be the main thing that I'm taking out of training that I could apply to real life, is confidence.
And that's one cool thing, that, like, you know, with confidence, is that you can, I mean, you sit there and go, if you're going for a job interview, for instance, I know firsthand, you sit there and you're like, geez, my hands are sweaty, and, you know, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak, all this sort of stuff. And then you think, like, hang on, I can take a microphone out there in front of 300-400 people and have them in the palm of my hand. What's stopping me from being able to do this? And that's one cool thing that you mentioned that I've found myself, is that, you know, you may not get that gig, but you know, you're gonna feel a bit more confident than you normally would, because you're just like, if I can own that, all right, I can own this. You may not, but, you know, it gives you that drive. It's good.
Exactly. And what's the worst that can happen? They turn around and say no. Hey, look, you've given it your best shot.
That's they boo you.
Boy.
not you yet. You haven't copped a boo yet, which I'm glad about that.
Yeah, it's funny that I haven't been booed yet, you know, because obviously the rivalry, Australia, England, you know, back and forth for sports. And it's like, walked out first time, it's like I'm getting cheered. It's like, this isn't right. What is going on?
And KD, what is the same question that I asked James?
Same thing, confidence is one, but also not to judge people, because we get a lot of different people through Riot City, and I was probably one of them when I first came through the doors. People probably thought, oh, this kid's not going to, you know, make it. You know, like, he, you know, he's overweight, he's unhealthy, he smokes, which, by the way, I don't smoke anymore, which is cool.
I love when he says that. He looks at me like, hint, armor, come on, get off the fags.
I just didn't know if you knew. But yeah, I don't anymore. People probably thought, oh, this kid's, you know, he's not going to last. But, like, through time, you realize, go, oh, you know, this guy's actually improving. Like, I've been the same, you know, like, sometimes I'd see someone and go, oh, I don't know. But then, like, you actually see them and go, wow, they've really improved. So, it's like in day-to-day life, like, you can meet someone who I've done before. Like, I've met people, like, in just normal day life and gone, But then, like, you actually get to know them and it's like, oh, these guys are actually... this guy's really cool. Let's, you know, let's hang out, you know. That's what I think. Like, if you meet someone, you don't judge them by seeing them. Like, when you first... don't judge a book by its cover. Read the book, get to know the book, and then go out with the book, if that makes sense. I think it does. If you're a book person, I am.
If you're a movie person, don't just read the blurb on the back. Give it at least 15, 20, you know. Wait until you get to that point where you... you know, and then you can think, okay, well, we'll wrap it up here, but yeah.
Unless there's a dog on it, then buy it.
Air Bud. Big fan of Air Bud in the house, no?
I like the movie Homeward Bound.
Oh, that's my favourite movie.
Well, I grew up on Milo and Otis and Benji. Fucking Benji. Jesus, that's going way back. You know all about Milo and Otis. That was a hit over there in...
the UK,
wasn't it? Probably before my time. Hey, look.
Showing me age right here.
Yeah. To be fair, though, right, my childhood watching stuff was a bit different to people outside. And that's another thing also coming from England. I'd come up to someone like... at the moment, I've just got back into Robot Wars because they're doing live events. But that was on TV. So I'd like...
Was that the same Robot Wars that Chris Jericho hosted the American version of?
A couple years ago?
No. This was a different one because I remember it was Craig Charles, the main host. And I just...
I'm thinking of Robot Combat League. Yeah.
Yeah, Robot Combat League. But... yeah, just like I'd remember the days of like, and these names are probably going to be meaningless to the people that say, but the names of like Razor, Chaos 2, and Hypnodisc, like that was my childhood. Yeah, I'd come over here and talk to someone, it's like, ah, have you ever seen Robot Wars? And they're like, what the hell is Robot Wars? And I believe, was it not too long ago, I had this thing. Brings that rope?
I knew a little bit about it. I remembered the chicken one.
Good old Robo Chicken.
Yeah. And I actually thought he never won a match. I thought he always used to get beat, but apparently he won some matches. So good on you, Robot Chicken. Was that what you call? Robo Chicken.
Robo Chicken and his and his good old partner, Bulldog Breed, who's still going to this day. Thank God.
It sounds like the Meccano version of like roller derby or something. It's like it's going to be the...
If we're going to glorify it like that, it's pretty much big, giant RC cars with weapons. Which verifies from country to country, and we do actually have some in Australia. But yeah, it's very different depending on where you go, and the main places are England and the States.
I think we might have to have a new podcast here on the FNX network, the Robot Wars cast or something with James Cray. There's an idea.
I'd be up for that.
There we go. I'll speak to the brass. Ryan, I know you're listening, mate, so there's an idea for you. We're running the ideas shower at the moment. Jump in and see if you like the idea.
Yeah. Might have to save up a bit of cash for that, otherwise I might have to be borrowing your stuff, Josh.
Right, come around to my place and we'll do up some... we'll get the protein happening.
Yeah.
We'll get the protein happening.
Yeah, get that stuff happening. I definitely need it.
Especially because training was earlier and we should probably wrap up really soon. We'll do the quick fire. We'll make it quick. We'll start with favourite WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, and I forgot what number it was, but the one at Caesar's Palace.
WrestleMania 9.
There we go.
One of the most unpopular WrestleManias, but it's one of my favourites because it's outdoors. There was something different. You got Macho Heenan and JR on commentary. Amazing team.
And it was just the fact that it was outdoors, and obviously being at Caesar's Palace, it was Roman themed. So it was like The Undertaker came out with an entrance with a chariot and a crow on it. The commentators were in togas. It was just, yeah.
Apparently Vince's rib on JR, right? Your first pay-per-view, you're wearing a toga. Toga up, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Just, and I think I've still got the VHS sitting at home.
Have you seen the OSW review episode of that?
No, I haven't. I've got to...
Dude, I'll send you the link to that. It's one of their funniest episodes. KD, WrestleMania.
Probably WrestleMania 24. I know it's very retro, but that was the one with... that was in Florida or Miami or something. I don't know. It was somewhere summertime. And Ric Flair's last match, and he had that awesome gown and like the jets flying over.
Best robe ever. It's the biggest, like, fuck off, like, robe you've ever seen. He's like, if I'm wearing one last robe, man, this is going to be it.
And then the Undertaker versus Edge, which we all know Edge was just amazing. Like,
that was a great match.
That one, then it was like Finley versus JBL, and like these are two big sweaty dudes just like slamming each other, and then...
And that was the opener, which I thought was a really weird opener. You'd think the ladder match would be first or something, but not. They're like, let's have Finley and JBL go out there and beat the shit out of each other for 5 minutes. Yeah. It was great.
And that ladder match also was amazing because Shelton Benjamin, usually he does like a flip off the ladder onto someone, but I don't think he did it onto people. He got pushed off the ladder and just went... crash, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then like there was like a spot where I loved it. That's my favorite WrestleMania 24.
We've already started with Mania. We'll go with the favorite match that you've had yourself so far and your dream opponent, either in Australian wrestling or worldwide.
Favorite match so far, I'd have to say this Chris Basso.
I had a feeling that that would be the one, but
guy, it's just phenomenal to work with. Like, when he's billed as world class, it amazes me he hasn't traveled the world.
Billed as the world class, the cornerstone, the prince of the package pile driver. Are we forgetting any others, Eastman? I'm sure you'll pull me up on it.
He's probably got 50 million nicknames that he's sitting there writing down or coming up with as we speak. Dream opponent. Ooh, that's a tough one.
somebody's doing the RVD thumbs.
Now that you mention it, I reckon if we were going to have a dream match, I would have a four-way tag, me and Katie. Would have to go...
You've got to share the limelight, so you can't hear. He's like, tag? Oh, I've done enough of that.
No. I was actually intrigued. I'm like, tag? That's cool.
Four-way tag. We'll go the leaders, Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, so we can do that. Okay.
We'll go the villain. He's the villain now, which I love.
Party Marty to me.
He will forever be the villain. We'll go the geezers. Sebastian and Tom Irvin, and just to throw it up a bit, we'll go with the Sumerian Death Squad of Tommy End and Michael Dante.
You're taking the heat from Tommy End. I'm not looking at that guy.
Mate, I'll take their 5 million tag finishes, because those things, just how the hell they get away with that stuff and make it work and seamless and flow from one to another, it's just mind-boggling. Like,
these guys are in progress, aren't they?
Yeah, progress. I think I haven't seen their recent show, but Chapter 20, they finished the match with a move called the Anti-Hero. From their highlights video, they've got a finisher, and its name escapes me right now, where Tommy End just front suplex throws into Dante, and Dante just slams him as hard as he can into the ground. And
I
it's
can see that in my I haven't seen that but I can see that in my head and
that's, I'll link that to you, but it's like,
sounds incredible and so impactful and yeah, it's safe at the same time.
Yeah, but it's like Chapter 20, when they finished the match with Anti-Hero, it was like they had like three others before that, and it's like, if this guy kicks out, like, they're just gonna have to kill him. There's just no other way.
You get to that point where it's like such a devastating finisher, people kick out and you're like, now you're just taking the piss. Come on, man. Like, so take it home.
To kill you. Yes, like, this is... there's no other way this match is going to end but me spilling all of your blood on the canvas, which is probably sounding a bit more gruesome than I intended.
Jesus, so dark.
He's bringing out the dark streak. Yeah, you're not wrong.
He's scaring me a little bit.
Unfortunately, that comes with the name Cray.
Cray,
Cray. Cray, Cray. Alrighty. Dream match and favourite match that you've had so far?
Again, Chris Basso with a match that I just had at the Riot City Rumble. That would have to be up there. with probably my favorite match so far. I haven't had a lot of matches, but also I had a match with Marvel at Mean Street Mayhem. It wasn't my first match with Marvel, it was my second one. It was a what was the one that you versus Chris Basso on? No, it wasn't Chris, was it Chris Chris Basso, because was it 15? Because 16's just been, that was the match I had with Toro.
Yeah, I think it was 15.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that was the match, and he nearly ripped my knee off. That was still pretty cool, because I'm like, I'll just say this really quickly. I started wrestling just so I can wrestle Marvel. That's the honest truth. Not wrestling in general, but why I started at Riot City, just so I could have a match with Marvel. That's the honest truth. Now, as for dream opponent,
Charlie Haas. If we could go back,
No, it needs to be someone that's like different to me. In all honesty, I don't know. I'd probably like to have a match with a longer match with Big Brody Marshall without me getting destroyed in the first 3 minutes. Also, I'd love to like work. Not actually wrestle. Well, I would love to wrestle him, but I'd also love to work with Adam Brooks as a tag partner. That would like just I like sitting under his tree of woe. It's tree of knowledge, not tree of woe. That's a move, but yeah, I'd like to tag with Brooksy against someone because I think he's just awesome. He's like a good mate of mine. So yeah,
he's Brooksy's. Yeah, we beat the Brooksy drum a lot here, but yeah, he's so freaking talented and he's just the nicest bloke.
Humble
is the word, and you know, that's why I think when people hear us banging on about Brooksy all the time, and they go, like, who is this? If they haven't seen him or heard of him, like, who is this Adam Brooks? And where is he? Oh, he must be a good mate. He's just a bloody good dude who's talented, and he's willing to teach, to give his input, to give his, you know, feedback, like, wherever it need be. And, good stuff with Brooksy. One last question here before we bail. Favorite after show or after match meal? We love this question here because we get to talk about food.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty simple because I've only ever had one.
We've had matches here at Main Street Mayhem, so
yeah, but even then, like
the leftover sausage roll with the pie warmer, is that it?
I think we went to Macca's and I think, what was it? Was it Chicken Bacon Delights, I think it's called?
Bites.
Nah, it's one of their burgers with, like, the spicy bun. Yeah, Chicken Bacon Delights, I think its name is.
The amount of mentions that fucking Macca's gets on this show, we better be getting a sponsorship fairly soon, I tell you what.
I'm going in the complete opposite direction. I'm going to go with Pizza Club for Life. That's me, Demi Bennett, and the Green Smash. I'll say Mean Street Mayhem show because, in all honesty, I do go to Macca's after the big shows. But like in Mean Street Mayhem, we do the Pizza Club and we go to a Domino's and we order pizza and we talk about wrestling. And so yeah, I'm gonna go with pepperoni pizza because I only get basic. I'm old school. I only like old school stuff.
The pepperoni pizza, it's not only cheap, but the pepperoni that they use is still quite spicy, so you get that pepperoni hit, know what I mean, which is important with pepperoni. You need that spicy hit, I find.
Yeah. Oh, if I could, I'd probably prefer Australian Pizza House.
Yes.
Because you get much more of a bigger piece. But
I used to go the King's Special, which was a ground beef, onion, and the white sauce topping. Oh my god.
Yeah, it sounds good, but I just like basics. I'm not into a lot of faff. I just like
free.
Yeah, I like just the basic stuff. That's why I'm real basic. But yeah, I just like the pepperoni pizzas. And then
KD Trey's 99% faff free.
That's really good. I wish I had thought of that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
As I said before, log it.
Log that shit.
I was about to say, never mind the bollocks with KD Trey, but
Sex Pistols, love it.
Can't go wrong with the Sex Pistols, man.
Here's the British guy going for the cheap pop with the Sex Pistols reference. What a cliche. On that note, I think we will wrap it up here. Thanks, dudes, for hanging around very, very late. Whoever has to lock this place up, if I think there's somebody else there. Okay, it's you. Well, that's okay then, because I don't want to be holding up Big Grim, because that's not a good time, but... Really cool to have you guys on, just having a yarn, you know, sort of thing. And yeah, hopefully it's given, you know, other people out there that are new to wrestling just something to kind of relate to, you know. And I'm not alone, you know what I mean. And it's possible to go out there and do what I want to do, you know. Even if you haven't started your quote unquote journey yet with wrestling, you know, and you're sort of thinking about it, particularly if you're in Adelaide. Contact Riot City Wrestling on the Facebook page. Shoot them a message if you're interested, if you're keen on getting involved. Let them know and go from there, I guess, is the way to do it. So get the plugs out of the way real quick, where people can find us on social media and all that sort of jazz. James?
Unfortunately, I don't have any social media yet.
He hasn't got the gimmick page yet. Look out.
It's in the works.
It's in the works.
So sometime this week, I'll... hit you with stuff. And
do you have a Twitter and Instagram, anything that people can see you on?
Unfortunately, no.
Well, there you go. In that case, you're gonna have to get down to RCW, down to the Mean Street Mayhem shows, or Key to the City October 10th at the Latvian Hall. I did get it right, the venue, didn't I? It is the Latvian Hall, that one. Yeah, just checking the post through. Yeah, it's the Latvian Hall. Yeah, all right, cool.
Look at us, just a bunch of banter buddies.
All righty, so yep, that's where you can see James Cray. And actually, are you booked on the Key to the City show yet, or can we reveal that?
Well, if I am, I don't know about it yet.
Okay, well, hold tight on that. KD.
You can actually add me on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page now. It's just Katie Trey. So it's new, and every now and again, I'll probably put something on there. So if I do get booked on the Key to the City ladder match show, I will let everybody know. Yeah.
Very cool. And don't forget tickets. You can get those at rightcitywrestling.com/tickets. Main event will be Big Brody Marshall, the champ, going up against the number one contender, Matt Grim Basso. And of course, the four-way Key to the City ladder match to crown a new number one contender. So far, we know Dean Brady's going to be in that match. Not sure who else, but ladder matches in RCW tend to be pretty freaking crazy, and this, I'm sure, will be no exception. So, yeah, bloody ladder matches.
I just know, I mean, two people in a ladder match is pretty devastating. Four people in a ladder match is just going to be a big car abomination.
I don't want to say car crash, because that might it's gonna be shit. No,
it's a big abomination of just hucking ladders at people. But just on that note, I love the Whirly Bird with the fucking ladder. Yeah,
that's how good that's the old Terry Funk.
Yeah, it's Terry Funk. That's great.
Yeah, that's just gonna be carnage. It, and I'm gonna say this, it's gonna be like Hypnotist. It's just going to be a complete and utter mess.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about now. The guy with the blade thingy, yeah, that would go around.
The big spiral on the disc.
Yeah. Good times.
We've got James on Robot Wars. We're going to be here all night. We better wrap it up, folks. Yeah. Thank you very much, KD.
No worries.
And James, awesome stuff. Thanks for your support as well with the show, guys. Very much appreciate that. And I'll be back in a sec, folks. Check this out.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers Podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson is going to be an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with the D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's been edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. You're going to need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
All right, let's bail on out of here. A big thank you to KD Trey and James Cray. Big thanks, guys, for sitting down, having a chat, and all the best with your careers. And I reckon maybe in about 12 months, we'll catch up and do a progress report, I guess, and see how the fellows are going in their wrestling journey. Now, before we do actually head on out of here, I just want to remind you guys about the great work that our sponsor, Thomas Green Design and Illustration, do. Now, if you've seen the new Can't Stop the Axe Josh Shooter hoodies, or the new Bestos t-shirt even from Kellyanne and Adam Brooks, Thomas Green Design and Illustration is who's behind them. And even if you run a small business or an organization, if you need an album cover or t-shirts for your band, hit up Thomas Green. Quality solutions no matter what your project. Even commissioned artworks and websites and things like that, Thomas will be there to wrestle your graphic design needs. So check out his website. It's tgreendesign.com.au, on Facebook at Thomas Green Design and Illustration, or shoot him an email, tgreendesign@hotmail.com. And make sure you mention Wrestle Radio Australia. Tom will slash 10% off of the work that you need done. That's all you got to do. Just mention Wrestle Radio Australia. Big thanks, Thomas, for supporting the show and all your work down at RCW, mate. Really appreciate it. All right, we are out. Don't forget this week, Todd Eastman, the Wolfdog, and Sean Fuster will be reviewing Night of Champions, talking all the WWE happenings at the moment, so be sure to look out for that. The new show from Ali Vaez, Healing Out, that's going to be here very, very soon. As soon as EP1 is ready, I'll be uploading it to this very feed, so tell your friends about that. Alrighty, big thanks to Thunderstag on the theme music, Wrestle Merch Printing for the awesome logo and cover art. Big thank you as well to KD Trey and James Cray. Once again, Thomas Green Design and Illustration, and FNX.network. Big thank you to you guys. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh Armour. This has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.
Sinners, lovers and losers, cuckoos and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday, yeah.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.